God does exceedingly abundantly far above all we could ever ask or think.
Amen.
Amen. He says he came to bring life and life more abundantly. And you know, we're to walk in abundant life. It's very important that we begin to see that. One of the things the devil always wants you to do is say, you can't do it. Amen? Amen. You can't do it. You know, there's many times when people make a mistake and they always say, well, I'm just human. I want to slap the soul out of them. You may have a human body, but you're not human.
Amen. Amen.
Humans are temporary. We're eternal.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Humans are temporary. We're eternal.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
You know? You want to stay human? Be temporary. This flesh is only temporary, right?
Amen.
But we're spirits.
Amen.
And we must begin to understand that we are a spirit. And you know what that means? That you can actually walk in perfection. But the devil won't allow you to think that. Because as a man thinketh, so he is.
Amen.
You can actually walk in perfection. Ooh.
Hallelujah.
Turn to John chapter 19. Praise God. John chapter 19. We first need to have a perfect heart, don't we?
Amen.
We need to desire a perfect heart, don't we?
Amen.
John chapter 19. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, get us while we're sitting in your presence. Chapter 19. Hallelujah. In verse 25, I believe. Yeah, 25. Jesus was on a cross, and now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, I love when he does that. Because you know what? She was no longer his mother. He was her God. He said, woman, behold your son. He was pointing to, well, he couldn't point, but he couldn't even, you know, but he was suggesting that John. He said, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And he thirsted to get home. That's what he was thirsty for. Now, a vessel full of sour wine, and that represented me and you and our sin, was sitting there. And they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. When Jesus said, it is finished, he said, it is complete and perfect. It's done. Only his name is complete and perfect. That's why demons tremble in the name of Jesus. But see, they want it. The demons are always going to challenge you because they want to know whether you believe it or not. Just like when Satan was challenging Jesus in the wilderness, the first thing he was saying, if you are Son of God. So he was always challenging him. And the powers of darkness are always going to challenge you. They're going to try to disqualify you from who you are. They're always going to try and put things across your path to disqualify you. That's their job, and they do it well. Their pay's not too good, but they do it well. So when Jesus said, it is finished, he meant it is complete and it is perfect. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, complete and perfect. Because you and I can actually walk in perfection. Hallelujah. Go to Genesis chapter 1. But the devil doesn't want you to think that, does he? He wants to always remind you. Man, do you remember what you did? Did God really forgive you? Come on, man. He always tries to challenge you and bring you out of position. Because what you and I need to do is walk in the presence of God, because that's the only place perfection can be perfected. in Genesis chapter 1 and 31. Oh, hallelujah. Perfect and complete. That's what we want, don't we? In verse 31. Then God saw that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And this was the sixth day. So the evening and the morning were was the sixth day, because we know that God restored the earth in 6 days. People think that he created the earth in 6 days, but he actually restored it. Amen. And in chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were what? It was finished. What did he say? It was what? Perfect and what? Complete. It was what? Perfect and complete. Now, perfect or perfection is a representation of a meaning without flaw, state of completion or fulfillment. God is complete in himself, lacking nothing.
Amen?
Amen? He is the basis by which all other perfection is measured. Perfection in this natural state cannot be reached. Do you understand that? Perfection can never be reached in the natural state. Because man will always continue to sin. But in the spirit, man can reach perfection. The first thing you must have is a desiring heart to become perfect. You must have a desiring heart to become perfect. Now there's a difference, and I'll talk about that in a second. Go to Matthew 5. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5. See, your walk cannot be nonchalant. It cannot be sluggish. In fact, Jesus warned us. He said, you know, I could wish that you were hot. You better off cold. But now that you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. So we need to be hot. That means we need to be on fire. We must have a desire to be perfect. Not in perfection of bondage. And I'll talk about that in a minute. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Jesus said, would you read it with me? But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now you try to tell that to the world. And say, you crazy, man. You don't understand what they did. I want vengeance. That's carnal. Then when they get vengeance, they think they're perfect. They thought they had the perfect plan. That you may be what? Sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect. Say it again. Therefore you shall be perfect. One more time. Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, Jesus is saying you should be perfect. So you and I should be working on perfection. Amen? We should be working on perfection. Not just half-stepping. That's where people still like to pet evil. They pet it. They wave to it. They shake hands with it. This is where you must hate evil. You must hate rebellion. You must hate disobedience. You must hate sickness. You must hate sin. You must hate anything to do with evil. It's a choice that we have, isn't it? Now, Jesus is speaking about a perfect, which is a relatively blameless lifestyle, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's what it is. That's perfection, isn't it? A relatively blameless lifestyle. In fact, chapters, and if you get a chance, chapters 5 through 7, Jesus speaks about how to be perfect. He expects us to be perfect, doesn't he?
Amen.
Go to Deuteronomy 18. Perfect and complete. Deuteronomy 18. Oh, hallelujah. But I was never told I could be perfect, so I never even attempted to. Hello? Deuteronomy 18. But I'm only human. Who told you that? Glory to God. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9. 18 verse 9. The Lord was speaking to his priests and through Moses and to the children of Israel. And he said, when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, and that for me and you now is when you get born again. When you accept me as Lord and Savior, and you choose to follow me, when you come into the land for which the Lord is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Amen? There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, which means drugs, or of a sorcerer or soothsayer, or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells or medium or spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Why? Because he desires that we become what? Perfect. You shall be what? Blameless. That means perfect, doesn't it? Because the Lord, before the Lord your God. You and I should become blameless before the Lord our God. You know how many people still have idols? People are still praying to the dead? I mean, praise God. I thank God for our sister Mary. But, you know, she ain't God.
Amen?
Amen? She's not God. Amen. You know, I there was a... But thank God, God looks at the heart. Amen? And he makes the correction for us. Hallelujah. You know, but look at the deception of the devil who likes to put things between you and God when Jesus paid such a price for me and you to have a relationship with him personally. Amen? So the Lord was explaining to his people, listen, as I'm releasing you from bondage of the world and send you out into the world because I am the Lord your God, do not practice their things.
Amen.
Because they worship demons and don't even know it. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. That we should become blameless or perfect. Go to Psalm 101. Now, David during that time really grasped hold of that. In fact, David was a man known after God's heart, wasn't he? Because he had a desire to walk perfect. That doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake. Amen? It means that when you do, you repent quickly and you get back in position. Now, many of the world to say, you know, because you're not going to follow them and you're not going to associate with the ways of the world, they're going to harass you. They're going to actually call you self-righteous because they don't understand what righteousness is. They know what good and evil is. They do not know what righteousness is. Man, when did you become so self-righteous? Come on, don't you want to go out, man? There's things going on here and there's a party here and I got Lucy set up for you and... No, man, those days are over with. Come on, man, when did you become so self-righteous? When I met the righteous one.
Amen.
Amen. I'm working on perfection.
Amen.
I don't want to have anything to do with this world again.
No. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's read this together. I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a what? Perfect way. Whoa, David caught it. He got it. I'm going to behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? See, he was looking for him. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Whoa. See, he's looking at him. He understood that you had to have a perfect heart to walk in a perfect way. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. He's saying, listen, I don't want to associate. I want to walk away. I don't want to know nothing. I want to keep my heart pure. I want a perfect heart. My desire is to be perfect before my God. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me, he who walks in a perfect way. Hallelujah. He shall what? Serve me. Yeah. He who works the seed shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Yow. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. So David really, he caught it. David had a desire to become perfect, not in bondage of self-perfection. Do you understand that? But in Christ, he had an understanding that he was complete and perfect. Because he couldn't have had that desire. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, right? When Samuel anointed him, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And first David became a worshiper. Then he became a king because he had to fulfill his priesthood before he could fulfill his kingship. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. David desired a perfect heart. And we've got, you know what, you just got to ask.
Amen.
Lord, I desire to have a perfect heart. I give you my heart today. Perfect it for your glory. Perfect it. Romans 12. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Glory to the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Would you read it with me? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Praise God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's daily. Lord, I give you my spirit, soul, and body, my members and memories, my attitude, motive, and desires, my conscience and subconscious, my attitude, motive, and so forth. Give it to him. Amen. Take this heart, Lord, and purify it. Perfect it, that I may walk blameless before you. In verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Say it again. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there is a perfect will of God, isn't there? If God didn't require me and you to walk in perfection, there wouldn't be a perfect will. He would just leave good and acceptable. But there is a perfect will where you can walk in the perfect will of God, where you have a hundredfold return.
Amen.
But you don't walk in God's perfect will for a return. You walk in God's perfect will because you love him.
Amen.
And because of who he is.
Amen.
Not because of what you can get.
Amen.
A lot of people like to use God. But he knows it.
Amen.
And he lets him because he loves him. Praise God. Hallelujah. But eventually the rug comes out from underneath their feet. And he still loves them. Because when a rug comes out, they usually go, whoop, and he goes, come on. Hallelujah. Colossians 2. They get involved in butt ministry, you know. But. You don't know him, but. You don't understand, but. But I'm not like but. But we're the head, not the tail, right?
Yeah.
So then we should walk in perfection. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2. Glory to God. In verse 6. As you therefore have what? Received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk in him. Hallelujah. Walk like him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with what?
Thanksgiving.
Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. According to the basic principles of the what?
World.
Well, if the world can do it, I can. No. Just because alcohol, cigarettes, and all the other stuff that the world has, and it's legal, doesn't mean that we're to do it.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are what? Complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Has everybody got it? So you and I are complete in him. Or we're perfected in his presence. That's why you and I desire his presence. We don't even understand it sometimes. Remember, that's what we talked about. We groan. We get frustrated because, you know, Paul said, man, I do the things I don't want to do. But the things I want to do, I have a struggle and a hard time doing it because I realize sin dwells within me. That means presence of evil is there. Sin represents the presence of evil. It's not always the act, is it? Because if sin dwells in you, that means that there's a presence of evil there. Amen? Praise be to God. Psalm 138. So you know that the only way that you're going to be complete and perfect is to walk in his presence. And last, we had a teaching last week about it in his presence.
Amen.
Amen. Holy Spirit's trying to get us somewhere.
Amen.
He's trying to say, listen, stay in my presence and you'll become perfect.
Amen.
Psalm 138. Oh, it's a good night to die. I love it. Death is a wonderful place. That's where joy is, isn't it? Like, come on. Finally, we're out of the way. And oh, hallelujah. We become a sweet aroma to the Lord with our flesh cooking. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Remember, John the Baptist was a representation of the old man. Amen? When Jesus showed up on the scene, the first thing that happened to John is he went where? In jail. Hallelujah. The second thing that happened was cut off his head. Oh, we need to get our heads cut off so that the mind of Christ can have his way. Amen? Psalm 138. All glory. In verses 7 and 8. Would you read it with me? Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. Hallelujah. You know why? Because he's walking in his presence. He already knows. He's confident. He's walking perfectly, even though stuff's happening all around him. He's got a perfect heart towards God. He's working. He has a desire for perfection. He's making proclamation. Has everybody got it? He's making. He's claiming it. It keeps him in his presence. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. Praise God. I don't have to get stuck here. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will what? Perfect that which concerns me. He's going to make it all straight and right and perfected. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Oh, to God be the glory. He's going to work it. He's going to perfect it. He will perfect it, not you and I. When you and I try to perfect ourselves, we become into self-bondage. We become bondage. We work on perfectionism. And when things don't go right, we get all frustrated. And that's not perfectionism. Perfectionism is not to get sucked up in the frustration. Jesus said when somebody slaps you, give them the other cheek. Amen? When they steal from you and whatever, when you give something, don't expect it back. Don't be stupid and do it again to the same person, though. He did give us wisdom, didn't he? I mean, you know. That's when he calls us a bonehead, right? That's carnal-minded. Colossians chapter 4. So only he can perfect us. You understand that? But it's our responsibility to stay in the presence of God so that we can be perfected. But we first must have a desire to walk in perfection. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 4. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's see. And Paul said in verse 12, Ephesus, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in what?
Prayer.
That you may stand what? Perfect in what? Complete in all the will of God. Now, one of the places where this perfection is going to start to manifest, it first must start with a prayer life. If you don't have a prayer life, it's not going to be perfected. You must have a prayer life. And it's not, oh Lord, thank you for this day. See you later.
Amen.
Guide my path. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I trust in you today. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's not a bad prayer. But you can't just live on that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be perfected, can you? Because there's things you got to do. Amen? There's more than that, isn't there? Because we're looking for what? Perfection. Perfection just doesn't come from one avenue, does it?
No.
God is all present, all knowing, all powerful. So it's going to come in more than one area, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen? So there's something that you and I must do. We must get in His presence where everything is. That's where He's at, isn't it? Remember, there's the three presences of God. There's the temporary presence, which the world and all universe is held in. Then there's the self-imposed presence where you and I participate in something, where the eternal presence comes. And then there's the eternal or inherited presence which awaits us when we go home. Amen? But even in the meantime, you can have that eternal presence with you right now. That's where you are surrendered. That's where you're at rest. That's where you're no longer struggling. That's where you're walking in joy. That's where you're walking complete and perfect because you know He's establishing your steps and your thoughts because He says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you.
Amen.
That's why you must have a prayer life.
Amen.
Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with a ritual prayer life. Your ritual gets you into His presence.
Amen.
Then there's communication because you've got to fight to get into the presence of God.
Amen.
You've got to fight to get there.
Amen.
And once you get accustomed to being in God's presence, you don't want nothing else.
Amen.
And then your prayer life gets easier.
Amen.
Did you ever notice, you know, I heard this, that this pastor, or somebody said something about this pastor His wife said something about he missed a couple days of prayer, right? He missed some prayer, and you know, he realized it. And about 3 days of prayer, his wife realized it. And about 4 days of prayer, the world realized it. You got to remember, that's the devil's ploy. The Bible says, "Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you."
Amen.
Be anxious for nothing, but what? In all prayer. Amen. That means that everything you do, you must seek the Lord for counsel, correction, and direction.
Amen.
And when you don't know, don't do nothing.
Amen.
You wait. Why? Because you want to walk perfect.
Amen.
Because you trust Him.
Amen.
Even when you miss it, you wait. Because you want to walk perfect. He'll catch it all up. We don't have to. Because He's God and we're not. Oh, hallelujah. Where are we going? Thank you, Lord. Did we do this? Oh, ho, ho, ho. Ephesians 4. Glory to the Lamb. Is it hot in here or is it me? Hallelujah. Whew. Praise be to God. Let your glory fill this house. Let your praises fill my mouth. Oh, yeah, Daddy. Glory. Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Praise be to God, Lord. Touch your people tonight. Fill them with the joy. Fill them with joy, Jesus. In verse 11, and He Himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what?
Perfect
man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's God's desire for me and you. That we become perfect. Full of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Amen? Let me share something with you. We should be perfect in Christ with understanding of the doctrine. There's a difference between the teaching of a spirit and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. There are many people with good knowledge, but not understanding. There's a difference. You can hear preaching and teaching of this word, but without the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's letter.
Amen. Amen.
People can study this Bible and memorize the page numbers. And teach. Does everybody understand it?
Amen.
Thank God, God is merciful.
Amen.
But there's a difference between teaching out of the spirit of the man and out of the spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
There is a difference.
Amen.
Because through the spirit of the Lord, there is a change of heart.
Amen.
Something changes in us. We have a desire to want to be perfect. We have a desire to want to be holy. We have a desire to want to please Him. And we have a desire to want to reverence Him and who He is. There's a difference. And it's important that we understand the Word of God. It's important. That's why God puts offices and officers in the body of Christ. Amen? Each office has gifts. Not that we can't walk in the gifts of the Spirit. Everyone can. That's for everyone, right? Far be it that you should walk down the street and find somebody bleeding to death and, well, I don't have the gift of healing. Well, it's baloney, you do. It's not your gift anyways. You just lay hands on it and shut up. Hallelujah. Cast that thing out and be about your business. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we don't want to be tossed to and fro. We must know the doctrine. We must know the truth. Because that's what keeps us in guidelines, doesn't it? so that we don't become worldly. The Word of God declares it's actually the mind or the thoughts of God, isn't it? But we know that there's a lot more. Far be it that we can write a book and say, okay, this is all God has. There's another arena where you and I must walk in, and that is in the spirit, where it's no longer words. It's no longer words. It's a presence of knowing. Well, you don't have to compare. Let's see. Does the Word say this? No. It's got nothing to do with that. You're not comparing what the Word is because you're in the Word. And the Word is abiding in you. That's His presence. Well, you're walking in perfection. Has everybody got it?
Amen.
It can be obtained.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Glory to God. Is everybody all right? Dead yet? Slowly dying? Praise God. That's okay. Sometimes God shows up and gives you a shovel and says, bury it. Bury it. Oh, hallelujah. What are you still holding on to that needs to get buried? That butt ministry, right? But you don't know what they did to me. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. Would you read it with me? But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue, say it again, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from you whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and what? And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wow. Wow. So that you may have perfect works. So that you may have perfect works. Go to Hebrews 13. We're on the subject. Hebrews chapter 13. Can everybody hear me? Okay. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 20 and 21, would you read it with me? Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of what? Peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work, to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So you and I can actually have perfect works. We can actually walk in perfection as we walk in the presence of God. Second Corinthians, let's see here. No, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. I always want to say Galatians, you know? Galatians. We need Galatians when we walk, right? And drenching in the presence of God. Holy Ghost Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 27. Everybody there?
Amen.
In verse 27, let's read it together. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, wait a minute. If Christ is in us, then we can be perfected. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You probably never realize how much the Word talks about being perfect. To this end, I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. In other words, he's striving for perfectionism. It's working in him, because he's walking in the presence of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All to God be the glory, that we may be perfect. And verse 17. Is anybody there? Would you read it with me? Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, now hold on, if anyone is in Christ, which means anointed one and his anointing, if anyone is in the Spirit, if anyone is walking in the presence of God, he is a what?
New creation.
Hallelujah, that's that perfect one, isn't it?
Amen.
Old things have passed away, that's the old guy, you know. Behold, all things have become new. That's perfection. He who's in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and as though God were pleading through us, which he is, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, or the perfection of God in him. Hallelujah. James chapter 1 and verse 2. I love the scripture. I like that whole scripture from Genesis 1 to Revelation. It's a powerful scripture. Oh, praise be to God. In verse 2, would you read it with me? My brethren, count it all joy. Would you say that one more time, please? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in the various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, known as endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Wow, so it's the desire of the Lord that you and I walk perfect and complete. Now, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So you and I, there is a testing that produces perfection. So you may be going through something right now. Don't get caught up in it. Ask God why. Ask him to show you what's with you so that you can walk in a perfect heart. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Now, some people don't even want to go there. They blame everybody else for what they're doing, because they don't have a perfect heart. And some people don't even desire to walk in perfection. They just want to skim by. Yeah, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Let's see, what you going to bless me with today, Lord? You know, we can't live that way. Because those who are led by the Spirit are known as sons of God. Sons of God walk in perfection. Oh, hallelujah. You know what trials do? They mortify your flesh. That's where that sweet aroma of your flesh cooking goes up to God. Amen? Oh, but you don't understand. They ripped me from my paycheck. That's it. I quit. Oh, Gucci, Gucci, goo. You weenie, you. No. You can't get pushed out of position because things aren't going the way you want them to.
Amen.
Amen. That's perfecting you.
Amen.
When stuff starts happening, just start going. Start smelling your flesh cooking. It's a sweet aroma to the Lord. Amen. That's okay. Go to James chapter 2. When you start getting sucked up in the flesh, in the world, stop. Resist. Amen. And repent. Then receive the love of God. In verse 19, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe. Ooh. And tremble. Isn't it wild? Even the demons believe God. They just made some wrong choices. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Perfection without working it is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he what? Offered Isaac his son on the altar. Oh man, you got to offer those Isaacs to the Lord. Any Isaacs in your life? Hello? It's time for that sweet smelling aroma. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made what? You can actually walk in perfect faith. That's perfect trust. No matter what's going on, you can walk in perfect faith by perfect trust. Wow. Faith was made perfect. You know what somebody, when somebody's walking in perfect faith, you know what they do? They never let go, no matter what's going on. They never let go. Even when they get thrown out of the boat, they hold onto the rope.
Yeah.
It can drag them. It can beat them.
Yeah.
They're not letting go no matter what.
Yeah.
Remember Jacob. He didn't let go, did he? Perfected his faith. And he became Israel. Messed up, became an overcomer. Oh, he didn't let go. And he got blessed, didn't he?
Yeah.
Now he wasn't... And remember... He finally got to the point where he said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. I'm not letting go. You know what? He knew that there was a blessing of not letting go. Why don't we? Glory to God. Where are we? Praise God. Let's go on. Let's go. Let's hit it. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Is everybody all right? Are we cool here? Everything's all right here? Okay. Praise God. Would you read it with me in verse 8? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can what?
Devour.
Hello? You He's trying to disqualify you. Remember, that's all you can do is, I always share with people, the devil is nothing but an ant with a big megaphone. Because that's all you can do is roar. The only reason why he can touch you is because you let him. Or you got sucked into something and touching something where he had access to you. Amen? Rebellion is the number one thing. Actually, that's the number two thing. Pride is the number one. But they work hand in hand, don't they? That's what keeps people in the butt ministry. They always try to reason everything, blame everyone else, and justify what they just did and never repent. But. No perfection. Praise God. And verse 9. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So everybody goes through it. Some of them are willing to go through it. Some of them want to run from it. And some want to blame everyone else for it. See, we've got to be perfected. We've got to be perfected. You know, I think Brian mentioned to me, somebody shared something with him. He says, while you're going through hell, go through it. Don't stop. So if hell, all hell's breaking out with you, don't stop. Go through it, right? Amen. It's going to perfect you. Oh, hallelujah. You know, look what happened with Job, right? I think what happened with him. Man, he went through hell on earth, didn't he? But God used Job to kick butt on the devil. Because he knew Job was going to be an upright man and not curse him. He knew Job was going to walk in perfection no matter what happened to him. Even his wife tried to be a stumbling block to him. Amen? God knew. In fact, God set Job up, didn't he? The devil came to Job, to the Lord. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Job was probably on the side going, no, no, no. Don't do that. But the Lord set Job up because he knew that Job was going to be perfect no matter where his circumstance was. And the devil hates those who walk upright in perfection. He hates them. It kicks him more. Casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, all of that's great. But his worst thing that he hates is a believer walking upright and perfect. He can't stand it. Hallelujah. Praise God. It says, verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Verse 10, read it with me. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, what's he going to do? Perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Whoa! Praise God. So if you think you're going through hell, walk through it and come on out and get perfected. Let the fire produce something. Let the fire burn that flesh. Let that fire offer up those Isaacs and be perfected. Hallelujah. Well, see, when you can trust in God, you can overcome. That's perfection. You're walking in perfection. James chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. So we can walk in perfect faith, can't we? We can walk in perfect trust, can't we? We can walk with a perfect heart. We can walk in the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Would you read it with me? It's just around the corner. Go in reverse a couple. Would you read it with me? My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Hallelujah. That ought to shake some of us. Huh? For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. In other words, you and I can actually walk in a perfect tongue. If you're listening, you won't speak what you feel like speaking. Hello? You'll speak what the Spirit says to speak. You can actually walk in a perfect tongue. Amen? Because see, what the devil's trying to do is get you to sow in the flesh so you can reap corruption. See, by your tongue, you sow to the flesh. Somebody upsets you, you. It's going to come back, you. So you and I can actually walk in, as a man thinketh so, he is. As a man thinketh so, he can speak too. That's where you and I must be in the Spirit to know what is of God and know what's not of God. Do you ever notice that when you get a cold, the first thing the devil comes up and says, man, you're really sick. Whoa, I better maybe stay home today. Maybe I'm. First thing he starts telling you, he starts putting worry on you, doesn't he? Remember, the devil's most powerful weapon is deception, and his power is fear. Because fear opens the door to demonic activity. When people walk in fear and worry and stress and anxiety, there's the devil. He's got access to them. And what they're always trying to do is protect their flesh. That's why they blame everybody else. Hello? You don't have to protect yourself no more. When you walk in perfect trust, you're no longer protecting you. You're protecting the anointing by what you speak. And you're protecting the presence of God in your life. That's our responsibility. Because you can quench the Spirit of God by what you speak. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Confession brings possession, right? I'm telling you, the devil loves to get people to sow in the flesh. Because then he has access. He goes, okay. Then he goes to the Father and he says, Father, when he says, Lord, whatever, your word says, he who sows to the flesh reaps corruption. I got access to that one.
Amen.
That one's mine. So the person must repent quickly, and then the devil can't get there. The Holy Spirit's going out, hey, repent quick. Quick. And the longer it takes you to repent, the more you got to reap. The quicker it takes you to repent, the less you reap. Has everybody got it?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, what did I say, 12? Glory to God. Verse 7. And Paul was saying, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations that he had and visitations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. It was his flesh. Was not sickness, was his flesh. Paul had such powerful revelations, he realized that something was always interfering. Him. Has everybody got it? He went to the Lord, he said, Lord, please get rid of this. The Lord was saying, listen, if I got rid of it, you'd die. That's why he had to tell him something very important. In verse 8, he said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Help me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, glory. Remember, the devil's looking for your strengths. That's what he goes after. He doesn't go after your weaknesses.
Amen.
He goes after your strengths because that's pride. What you think you're strong in is where he's going after. Because he wants to it's easier for him to boast you up. Hello?
Yeah.
So he can cut you down. So where you think you're strong in is where he's going after. But Paul, he said, listen, I realize that my flesh is always interfering. Every time I come out of the presence of God or I get a revelation, the devil's always beating me up, trying to boast me up. I'm realizing that in these certain areas of my life, I'm weak. But see, it's amazing that in the weak areas we're always willing to surrender to God, but not in the strong areas.
Amen.
And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect. Now let me share something with you, because this is very, very powerful. Perfect strength, that means where you're weak and where you're strong. That's what you need to surrender.
Amen.
See, the power of God comes in your life with complete surrender. He's looking for someone who's going to be perfectly surrendered to Him. Perfectly surrendered. That's why you and I must live a surrendered life. We have a tendency to want to fix what we mess up so quick.
Amen.
I need to fix this one. Oh, you don't want to. Oh. People walk in stress and fear and anxiety, don't they? They're so, you know, I think about it. When you and I were in the world, we spent more time trying to fix what we messed up. Right? We didn't know how to live a surrendered life. Most of the time we were apologizing to people we said things to. Hello? You certainly didn't go up to someone and say, forgive me for my thoughts towards you. Hello? No, but most of the stuff was exposed, wasn't it? Those are the things that we repented for. We just got caught. But now to be perfect in Christ, it's different. You don't repent because you got caught. We repent because we offended Him because of who He is.
Amen.
That's walking in perfection. You don't wait till you get caught. You don't reason about what you're doing. You walk in perfection because of who He is and who you are in Him. Because the one thing you don't want to do is walk out of the presence of God, what sustains us. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So in that arena, in that complete surrender, you can walk in perfect surrender and the power of God will be in your life.
Amen.
If you don't walk in perfect surrender, the power of God will not be there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 John. Chapter 4. Everybody okay?
Amen.
Praise God. 1 John chapter 4. Glory to God. In verse 17 through 19. 1 John chapter 4. Is everybody with me? Read it with me, please. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. There is no fear in love. Say that again. There is no fear in love. One more time. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. People who are tormented are not walking in love. And love means choice. You're making the choice to love. It's not about a feeling. It's a choice. If you're waiting to feel love for someone, you'll never love some people. Amen? Once you make the choice, the love of God has His way. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Here it is. We love Him because He what? First loved us. Wow, that's a choice, isn't it? We love Him because He first loved. So you and I can actually walk in perfect love. Glory to God. That's just making a choice, isn't it? Now, sometimes it might be hard to love someone. Now, you may not like someone, but you got to love them. I may not like what people do, but I love them. Amen. God might not like what we do, but He still loves us, right? Because His love for me and you is unconditional. But if He's in us, then His love is abiding in us. The whole thing is we must abide in his love, and that's by choice. Amen. Lord, I choose to walk in your perfect love. Amen. Grant me a perfect heart. And I may be well-pleasing to you in everything I do. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, to God be the glory. Hang in there. We're almost done. Second Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 16. Praise be to God. Would you read it with me? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now what's the word therefore mean? If you what? Come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Keep going, one more verse. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You can actually walk in perfect holiness. It says perfecting holiness. Wow. He said, be holy because I am holy. Right? Be holy for I am holy. Does the devil want you to know that? No way. He wants you to keep looking in the mirror and look at the old man. Oh, hallelujah. Remember, he's always going to challenge you. That's his job. He's going to try to get you to walk in the temporary realm instead of the eternal realm. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, holiness requires sanctification. That means separation. So you and I can walk in perfect holiness with perfect sanctification. Without being separated from the world, you will not walk in holiness. You will not walk in a perfect heart. You cannot touch that stuff. The Bible says he who is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Or chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 1, sorry. Hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 9. Would you read it with me? God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You and I should be perfectly joined together with the same perfect desire, the same purpose. Our perfect is to be pleasing to God. It's to walk with a perfect heart. It's to walk with a surrendered life, totally trusting in Him. Is to walk as he walked. That's perfection. Turn to Matthew 14. So we should be perfectly joined, amen? Our purpose, everyone's purpose in the body of Christ should be to bring glory to the name of the Lord, expand his kingdom, and rescue souls. And of course, kick butt on the devil, amen? Can't be a wimp for Jesus anymore. Got to be a warrior. Glory. But you got to learn how to fight. If you don't know your weapons, the devil will take advantage of you. And if you don't know how your enemy operates, he's going to really take advantage of you. So we must learn his tactics. Okay, where did I say to go? Matthew 14. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Is everybody all right? Okay, in verse 33. 14:33. 14:33. Then those who were with him in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him. What did they do? They begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Oh, to God be the glory. Listen, you can walk in perfect health. But the devil will try and tell you you can't. He'll put your hope in the doctor instead of the Lord. Hello? Oh, but we can walk in perfect health. A couple more scriptures. Revelation chapter 3. And then we got one more. Revelation chapter 3. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. And out of, yeah, smell that flesh, praise God. And out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. That is joy. Joy. Praise God. And verse 2, chapter 3 and verse 2, read it with me. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Now there are some things that God has not found perfect, but he's trying to perfect them, isn't he? Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. And you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Why? They are walking in what? Perfection. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Now, isn't that wild? People think that once they receive Jesus, they can go serve the devil and go home. Jesus said, I'll blot your name out. Bonehead. But I will what? Confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I want to close with this. Colossians chapter 3. Praise God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Perfect and complete. Hallelujah. And if you don't have a desire to have a perfect heart, I encourage you to get it. I encourage you to ask God to give you a perfect heart. Remember, you can't put a perfect heart in yourself and you can't create one. You can't even mold it. That's all you need to do is ask for it. In verse 12, would you read it with me? Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, are you the elect of God?
Amen.
Amen. Are you chosen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now you got to determine whether you're faithful.
Amen.
That causes perfection. He is faithful. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Hello, he's telling us how to be perfect, isn't he? Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if any of you has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be what?
Thankful.
Be thankful. Let the word of God, the word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns, in spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word and the seed that's been imparted in each and every one of us, Lord. I ask that we'll grow and bear fruit for your glory. Again, Father, I ask that you bring healing to the heart. Bring healing to the heart of each and every one of us. Bring perfection to the heart that we may walk in perfect health, with a perfect tongue, a perfect mind, a perfect heart, the perfect will, and perfect strength and complete, perfect, total surrender. That we may bring glory to your name and expand your kingdom. That we may be the witnesses and the light and salt of this world. And that we may give fruits that are worthy for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand.